This is a Talking Digital production. Find more great podcasts at talkingdigital.org.
Oh, let's see. I think we're ready to get started. Are you ready?
I am ready as I'm going to ever be.
There's some news today, so we'll cover that in a second.
Well, I've been in a news blackout, so...
Okay, well, good. Well, there's not a lot, so we'll just go through it. Couple stories. Okay, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1...
Welcome to the weekly let's start again. Let's cut that out.
Okay.
Welcome to the very occasional. No, that's bad too. Welcome to the somewhat frequent. I think that's what we chose one time.
The semi-regular.
Yeah, the semi-regular. Well, that kind of sounds bad, too. Scratch
okay,
that. Just cut that one.
Okay, we'll cut that one.
The somewhat frequent
welcome
podcast.
Welcome to the most... Yeah. Sorry, say it one more time.
No, that's okay. Welcome to the most... Now you got me all messed up. I'm trying to do email and talk at the same time. I shouldn't do that. Welcome to the somewhat frequent podcast with Rick and Adam. We talk about anything technology related. We, just like everyone else in the past year or two, we've been talking a lot about mobile technology because that's where a lot of the innovation and a lot of the push in technology is going. But we talk about everything. Macs, Linux, Windows Vista, viruses, security. We were just doing some password checking just a minute ago. There's a cool website called Is My Password Secure, I believe. Is that what it was? .net. Go to the website, helpmerick.com.
Yes.
And you'll see an article there.
Yeah, there's a link right at the... You know, it should be somewhere near the top by the time you hear this podcast. Probably at the top. Yeah, it's called How Secure Is My Password?
.com?
.net.
.net. Okay, so it is a .net. But it's very simple, very bold, and you just type your password in, and even if they collected your password, it's not a big deal because they don't know who you are. So some people say, why would I type my password in? But
that's not the one I was looking for.
What are you looking for?
Oh, that other. I was just thinking of long websites, the websites with long domains that are handy.
Oh.
And I'm looking for that one. Do you know which one? What the domain is for it? I don't want to mislead people.
Oh, okay. I don't know. You can look it up. But anyway, yeah, Adam and I have been working together for many, many years. And by many years, I mean over 10 years or very close to 10 years. And we've been in various forms. And this is our new form here in a podcast. It's not a live podcast. We can't take live calls or anything like that yet. But, you know, that may come down the line if we get back into video podcasting as we did about 3 years ago. And we also still do a monthly radio show that's slowly developing into two shows a month starting next week. Are you going to be able to make that one by chance?
It should happen,
cool. So it might work.
It's very possible, but what the problem is we're hitting kind of a finals week thing.
Yeah.
That's Wednesday, is that
Wednesday,
right?
Wednesday, yes. Next Wednesday.
Next Wednesday, it's possible, but I don't know.
Okay.
Because
that's cool.
The finals weekish stuff for my classes. So the following week the following month, I should be able to do it for sure.
Okay, cool. Very cool. Yeah. Adam's doing an online. Let's talk about how high tech Adam is. He's doing an online master's degree.
Yes.
From University of
Memphis.
Of Memphis.
Yeah.
And
which is in Texas? I can't remember where Memphis is in.
Well, I thought you were going to get an honorary Elvis degree because it is University of Memphis.
Well, did you hear that it's just been in the news today that Chuck Norris is being made an honorary Texas Ranger.
Oh, really?
Yeah, isn't that cool?
That's very cool.
I guess they should start making all these TV doctors honorary medical doctors.
Uh-huh.
Make a magnum honorary Hawaiian detective.
You can do that to yourself because remember that guy just a few weeks ago that was working in Florida as a doctor.
Yeah.
Remember that?
Yeah.
And he basically doctored, well, no pun intended, but he doctored up all of his his resume and his licenses and got hired and worked as a doctor.
Was he a pretty good doctor, I imagine?
I don't know. I didn't research it long enough. Apparently he had to be because I think it took him over a couple of years to find out who he was.
Yeah. Wow.
But, man, that's crazy. Amazing.
Oh, the website, the web domain I was thinking of was downforeveryone.com. Or justme.com. Have you ever been to that one?
No, I haven't been.
When you can't get to a website and you want to know whether that website is actually down or whether you've been hacked or something and that's keeping you from being able to hit that website, you can go to this website, type in the domain, and it'll tell you whether that website is actually down
that
or whether it's a problem on your end. Yeah, it's a great website.
So is it, now say it again, read the whole URL one more time.
It's downforeveryone or justme.com.
Wow.
Yeah, it's a long one.
That is fine.
But I've used it several times when I can't get into my own website or something like that.
Very cool.
Okay.
Well, what did you have for news? Like I said, I've been in a news blackout this week.
No, that's okay. We can focus more on email and stuff if you'd like. But one of the stories is WikiLeaks. Okay. I don't know if you saw that. WikiLeaks was stripped
peripherally.
Stripped from the Amazon S3 or whatever it is servers and...
From pressure from the State Department.
Yeah, and
right?
So now they're moving over to Europe. But off and on, if you type WikiLeaks in there, you can't get to it. So it's a little bit more...
Oh, interesting.
I think they'll be fine. It's just I don't think they have all their domain stuff straightened out quite
yet. So is that where they were... is that where they were doing all their hosting? Was on Amazon?
Yeah.
Ah.
Yeah, so Amazon kicked them off. So that's interesting. Let's see. There was one other thing I saw that was good besides the Texas Ranger story.
Well, one thing I did see last night while you're looking for it is that Verizon, starting this weekend, is flipping the switch on their 4G service. So they're faster wireless internet.
Did you read about the... I haven't read a lot about it. I heard that it was starting, but I haven't read in depth about it. Are they doing like Sprint and just rolling it out in really big cities first?
So yeah, I think it's in it says 38 metro areas this Sunday.
You know, if Wi-Fi is going to survive...
I put our area in it, then surprise, surprise.
Of course. If Wi-Fi is going to survive,
yes.
Which it doesn't look like it can at this point. I mean, everybody's going to LTE, but if Wi-Fi is going to survive, Sprint has to flip the national switch this year. They have
you
to
mean
do
WiMAX.
It at the beginning of the
year. You mean WiMAX.
I mean WiMAX. I'm sorry, did I say Wi-Fi? Yes. WiMAX is going to survive because that's kind of a... even. Clear Channel and all those guys are starting to look at
these other services.
Look at LTE, and even Sprint has admitted they're kind of looking. It's like they're already. It's kind of like the HD DVD and Blu-ray and all of that. Everybody says, "Oh no, we're still in," but we need to see what the other guys have to say because they realize that they're kind of losing ground fast. Which is funny because. WiMAX is out there. WiMAX is usable. WiMAX is on
fairly
phones.
Easy to deploy.
It's already there. It's fairly easy to deploy. The problem is everybody, all the big names, you know, AT&T
have gone the other way.
And Verizon have all committed to LTE. So even though they don't have the technology out there yet, nobody's even using it yet, they still are, you know, they're still the winner.
And again, what we're talking about are high-speed cellular networks.
Yeah.
And... I think that the good thing about all this that's coming out with high-speed cellular is you're starting to see some of these unlimited plans that you can set up with a little, what they call the MiFi or, you know, different little gadgets that will provide you a little network for up to 5 or 6 computers for $50, $60 bucks a month.
Yeah, or less.
Yeah.
I think Verizon has, and they're tiering them, which is okay on a mobile device.
Right.
But I think we should do more show prep, but I'm not going. I'm just going to throw this out there and let somebody else decide. But Verizon, I believe, has the iPad plan, where if you have an iPad, you can get 2 gigs per month of internet download for $30. I think it is.
Okay, so to be competitive with AT&T.
It is. And really, with something like that, I wonder why you'd even go with the AT&T service.
So, is it a little MiFi kind of device?
Yeah, it's a little MiFi thing that you use. Yeah, it's very similar.
Now, speaking of iPads and Verizon and that kind of thing, you and I, in between the last time we talked on the podcast, were able to go touch and play with the Galaxy Tab.
Yes.
What was your thoughts?
Well, we got two of them, the Galaxy Tab and the Nook Color.
Yes.
We both played with that since the last show, too.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
I still like it. I wish that the Galaxy Tab was more in the price range of the Nook Color.
Okay, but let's put price aside, though.
Price aside? Yeah, I liked it. Yeah.
Okay.
I liked it. I thought it was a little thicker than what it should be, but it wasn't bad. It's just a lot thicker than the iPad, but lightweight.
You thought it was thicker than the iPad?
Well, it seemed pretty thick. Maybe it's just that it doesn't have tapered edges.
That's what I'm wondering.
I think that's all it is. I mean, it's kind of like the iPhone 4G. It's just
because I actually liked the physical.
Did you?
Layout of it, the footprint of it, because I liked. In fact, I was working with somebody yesterday with an iPad again. Mm-hmm. The iPad is so slick when you're holding it. Number one, so if you don't have a cover,
rubber gloves,
rubber.
My iPad gloves, I have the sticky surface, little dots on them there. So,
if you don't have a cover, it's pretty slick, and it still is heavy.
Yeah,
I mean, a pound and almost three quarter is heavier, pound and a half or whatever it is. So when I was holding it, trying to do things, it's not a one-handed device very easily. Now, the iPod or the Galaxy Tab with the little 7-inch screen, I thought was perfect size. Yeah. I really liked it. It was very comfortable to view, comfortable to hold, and you could hold it with one hand and type with another or use your other hand to swipe pages on a digital book or things like that. And I have to say, the screen was pretty nice on it.
Yeah.
What did you think?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I think it was a beautiful... You know, the beautiful look and feel.
The price is the great
since
part.
Since I'm an Android guy, I use an Android, in fact, a Samsung Galaxy cell phone.
Right.
It was funny. My daughter and I both held it and said, it just feels like a gigantic cell phone. And it kind of does. It feels like a, and I imagine that's how iPad users who have an iPhone feel that way at first, too.
It's a giant iPhone.
It's just a gigantic iPhone. And that's what it felt. But this one really is. I mean, except for the fact it doesn't have a telephone in it.
Right.
Every other part of it is just like my phone. So it has the front-facing camera and the
rear-facing
camera. And I mean, all
GPS,
the other features
I believe.
Are there. You know what? That's a good question.
I'm not sure if it has.
I'll have to look that up. I'm not sure if it does. I think it has to, but
again,
I don't know.
We both agree.
Anything with Samsung.
Yeah, we both agree the price was crazy. Now, I did see, though, during the holiday weekend, this past weekend, that Office Max had the Galaxy Tab in one of their ads from Sprint for $399.
As long as you sign up for the 2-year contract for a $200 discount. Yeah.
Correct.
Now, I just don't know. The fact is you have to go, unless you go with AT&T or somebody like that, you have to commit to a company.
Right.
And I really don't want to have to commit to a company for a tablet, you know.
Well,
I don't mind a cell phone.
But. What I'm hoping is that $399 price is telling us that, hey, these aren't selling like hotcakes like they thought they would.
Right.
And the prices will come down. Maybe they'll do a pay-as-you-go kind of thing like AT&T does for the iPad.
Yeah.
I don't know. Who knows?
But that would be fine, too.
Now, switching gears. So price-wise, I think we agree on that. But I really like the form factor a lot.
Yeah.
Which is a very similar form factor to the Color Nook from Barnes & Noble.
Right.
What were your thoughts on it?
You know, I think it's got a wonderful screen. I love
very pretty screen.
I really love the shape, the design of it. I like the weird little hook thing down in the bottom corner. There's a little, it's missing the corner. I don't know if you noticed.
Oh, yes, kind of little notch,
a little notch thing, that little wire that you can, and I just thought that was kind of cool because that meant that you could put like a strap on it, or you can do, you know, just kind of makes it a little bit easier to carry around. No camera. No, you know, it's not made to be a tablet. It's made to be a reader. So the lack of all that extra technology brings it down to a $250 price point.
Right.
But, and it should support, a lot more apps down the road. It is an Android device, but you can't load just any Android thing on there. I imagine somebody will hack it and all that down the road. But really, I have a hard time. I believe that it's missing enough stuff that the $250 price point is okay.
Mm-hmm.
But then again, if I'm buying it for an e-reader, I want an e-reader. I don't want something I can't read in the car. I can't read, you know, not while I'm driving, but, you know.
Right.
Well, just the daylight. You know, once you get out into the sunshine, that limits the number of places you can read those color screens. It's just a standard LCD color screen.
Right.
So it's
Oh, theirs isn't one difficult. Of the OMLED.
Well, no, it's not. No, it's the AMOLEDs or whatever.
Yeah.
It's not a... But even that, those are harder to see in sunlight than a standard LCD. So, yeah, if it was a, you know, I think if you want to go with an e-reader, it still makes the most sense to just get an e-reader. An e-reader. Kindle or a Nook standard with that e-ink, because you can read it in any light.
Speaking of the Kindle, there's an article today right on the front page of the Google SciTech News that says the Kindle is losing market share to the iPad.
Oh, yeah.
Fairly significant.
Well, I was talking with my wife. I thought, you know, if I was going to get a Nook Color, which mm-hmm. I really like, I mean, I wish it had everything I wanted in it.
Right.
But if I was going to get a Nook Color for $250 for just another, you know, $200, I could get a standard iPad. And the iPad would allow me to have the Kindle and Nook and all those stores on it because there's an iPad app for each one of those things. So if I'm going to go with a Nook Color with a color screen and all of that, I might as well go for the iPad, which allows me to do a whole lot more.
Well, that's the thing, because again, we're almost back in that era.
Yeah.
You and I have been consolidating devices.
Right.
For quite a while.
Right.
And now we're getting back to where there's so many compelling pieces of different devices.
I kind of feel like the e-reader, the one with the e-ink, Nook mm-hmm. or the Kindle or the Sony, one of those,
uh-huh.
anything with the e-ink, those are kind of like the netbooks mm-hmm. were mm-hmm. to where they definitely have a purpose. They, you know, they do the thing they're supposed to do very, very well.
Right.
But so many people are distracted by the other devices that do a dozen different things, and they're overpriced.
Right.
You know, if netbooks had been $75 to $150 when they rolled out,
right.
and then they were told all these can do is surf the web and do email,
right.
I think people would have eaten them up, and they wouldn't have cared that it had Linux or anything else on it. They would have said,
it
does what it's supposed to do. Mm-hmm. Instead, they rivaled the cost of the low-end PCs, and people were torn.
Right.
Do I want it for my $299? Do I want a large screen and a 250 gig hard drive, or do I want to get something with an 8 gig solid state drive that only has a 7, or, you know, a 9 inch
that
screen?
Weighs half as much, right?
Yeah, I mean, and people really, you know, they were torn, and I think people just went with the thing that had the most features because they wanted the most for their money. And I think that's kind of the game that Kindle's losing out on, is instead of coming out there and saying, okay, we're lowering the price to $75, we're going to include two free books,
right?
And and go that route with it.
Or like we said, the Audible kind of route, that we have a little small subscription.
Exactly. Yeah. I would be more than willing to pay $15 a month for two books a month or something like that.
I can tell I've never met an unhappy Kindle or Nook user.
No.
People that have bought those little units really like them.
Yeah.
But they tend to be your hardcore readers.
Right.
They read a lot of books. Mm-hmm. They like to have their books with them.
Yeah.
And they travel a lot.
Yeah.
And they're not big techie people.
Yeah.
They don't necessarily need to have access to email every second of the day. They don't want to play Angry Birds
right.
on their reading device and that kind of thing.
Right.
So,
and that's where I can see. But again, that's where I say that the price is just $199 and $149 is just too high, when it's going to cost more than if I was to go out and buy each one of those books in paperback for a year. I still wouldn't equal the price that I'm spending on that device.
Very good. Well, I'm on another news site, Adam, that as we're talking here, I'm listening to Adam, but I'm browsing.
Yes.
Microsoft calls Google's Gmail deficient. Microsoft is on the defensive after losing a $7 million government email contract to Google.
Wow.
Microsoft said that company officials were taken aback by the GSA's decision, General Service Administration, to implement Gmail for its 15,000 employees instead of Microsoft Outlook.
Wow.
Outlook is antiquated. I hate to say that, but unless you're in a large, large corporation
yep.
where you want to have the ultimate control over your servers and over your desktops of your employees, there's no better way to implement, I think, email currently than Gmail.
Right.
I just think it works very, very well. And even Microsoft has added over the years some different tools that help it compete with Gmail. And I don't know why they're worried about it.
Yeah.
Ooh, you got an interesting article.
I do have an interesting article. This is from TechCrunch, and TechCrunch is a technology blog.
Okay.
Kind of a technology newspaper, but it is a blog that was recently purchased by AOL. Major source for technology news. These guys know what they're doing. If you've never heard of them, head on over there and visit them. If you don't like technology, you'll be bored out of your mind, but it's still great stuff.
Good writers. I like some
very good writers and very good stuff. Anyway, but they are just announcing that in their little stats, when they go to the back end of their website at TechCrunch,
right.
that now Chrome has become the number one browser that shows up that people visit their site with.
Nice.
Instead of Firefox. So
Well, and since you're talking about that, now what's their percentage?
There we go.
Go back to that.
It's a good thing we have fast internet. The Firefox is 27%.
Okay.
Chrome is, 27.67% is Firefox, 27.80%. So you're only talking about 13% there, but still.
I'm gonna tell you what the helpmerick.com browser report is. I got to find it in my analytics.
Yeah.
Let's see. How do you find browser? Are you familiar with?
Oh yeah. Are you in the AWS stats?
No.
Okay.
No, I'm in analytics. Google Analytics.
Oh, I don't know. I use both, but I don't look at my Google Analytics that much. I know. I'm horrible at SEO. I'm not the king of SEO. I leave that to the kings of SEO.
Here we go. Browser.
All right.
Browsers. Here we go. Castellini on computer. Helpmerick.com. All right. So we're still Internet Explorer 41%.
Wow.
Firefox 36%.
Okay.
Chrome 11%.
Cool.
And Safari 9.
Wow.
Isn't that crazy?
So I'm guessing, what do you know about the demographics, or what would you guess about the demographics of the visitors to your site?
Well,
like age and...
We get about 1,000 to 1,200 visitors a day.
Okay.
And I'm guessing that they're going to be upper middle age and over.
Right.
Is my guess.
Right. Yeah, that's where I'd be at, too.
So your folks are generally less likely to try out new things.
Right.
Unlike, however, the person that I tweeted about yesterday, I have a 75-year-old client who went out on Cyber Weekend here, or whatever they call it, Black Friday Weekend, Cyber Monday, whatever it is, and got a new Sony HD TV.
Cool.
And it came with, as part of the package, a PS3.
Oh, cool.
The 3D capable PS3. Is there a difference, or is it just an add-on?
It's just an add-on. It's just an update that you did.
So he bought Call of Duty 3D.
Oh, good deal.
And I had to hook up wireless for him for his iPad and his iPhone and his wireless printer.
Oh, my gosh.
And so he's got all this. He loves to be on the bleeding edge.
That is cool.
And I was very surprised he was playing Call of Duty.
Yeah.
Or wanted to play Call of Duty. So I hooked his PS3 up to the net, got him online, put on the little glasses.
Yeah.
I had a headache within 90
now,
seconds.
Now, is he a veteran? I mean, we're not at any risk of bringing up some PTSD or something, are we?
I don't know.
Okay.
I don't know. That's a good question.
PTSD, yeah.
Well, he said he plays with his son... When he goes to his son's house in California.
Okay, well, good. We're not too worried about it.
Yeah, he plays that, but he also plays a Western game. I forgot the name of it.
Red Dead Redemption.
I think that's it. Yeah.
I love the cowboy games.
And so his son wants to play with him online.
Oh, that is cool.
But he said, I'm horrible at it. He said, I'm always shooting in the air and shooting my foot.
A friend of mine has a dad that's about that age, and one night he came over and played Halo with us.
How'd he like it?
Oh, it was so cool because we actually named his little guy Target because he was just pointing at the sky and at the ground and couldn't figure out how to work the controllers. So we would just snipe him and, you know, it was fun for a few minutes.
Well, that's what this gentleman and I were talking about is I'll play with my son and they take to the controller so well. Now, granted, I don't practice.
Yeah.
But it's the coordinate about 25 buttons on a little controller is not my cup of tea.
I know. I hear you.
And so it was pretty crazy. But it was very interesting. I thought, 3D? Because I haven't seen 3D in the home yet.
Yeah.
And I have to say it's very first generation because I had a headache right away.
Yeah.
You have to flip a button on these little glasses.
Yeah.
And, I mean, certainly you can't play the game without the glasses.
Right.
Because you know how that is.
You're
watching
TV.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
And I have to say that it was a good attempt.
Yeah.
I think it's a good thing. But, boy, to combine a high-speed game with 3D.
Yeah.
Oh, I think maybe you do have to take drugs or something beforehand.
Yeah.
So that you're already in some other place. Because, oh, my gosh, it was not pleasant. But anyway, well, let's do it. Should we just do a couple emails, and I'll let you look around for some other things.
Yeah.
Let's see here. We're going to go to – I'm going to go with the very oldest one first, and this is Leo in Springfield, Massachusetts. He said, my friend lost his file edit view history bookmarks tools bar that sits above her browser bar – trying to fix another problem. I tried to get it back, but was unsuccessful. I did a system restore at a previous date, which caused the problem, and that didn't work either. Any help would be grateful. So it depends, first of all, on what browser you're using. If you're using Mozilla Firefox, all you have to do is right-click up near your address bar, and then just click the Customize, I think is what I want you to do, and make sure you click Add New Toolbar and add your main toolbar, which is known as the... Let me see, I'm looking here. I don't know if there's a name for that one. See, but I'm thinking, you don't tell you the truth. Oh, I know it. Here it is. I think it's one of two things. It was either in full screen, which is a very easy thing. That's F11. Because I'm looking here in Firefox, you cannot get rid of the file edit view. So in Firefox, just hit F11. If you might be in full screen mode, that'll probably bring it back. If you're in Internet Explorer, you can turn off what's called the menu bar. And all you do is right-click up near the address bar and then just tick menu bar, and you'll get it back. So that's two ways to try to do that. So thank you for the message, Mr. Leo. And now I'm going to do three right away, Adam, from the oldest.
Go for it.
Next oldest is Sue in Eckert, Colorado. She's the sole owner and user of this laptop and cannot obtain administrator status. I need especially to run spyware, fully run spyware such as Spybot. Spyware scans, I'm assuming,
yes,
is what she means.
Uh-huh.
How do I do that? And she's using Windows 7. Well, what you do, Sue, is you right-click on the program you want to run as administrator. You right-click, and then you choose Run as Administrator. And that should get you going.
Excellent.
I see some news here I'd like to hear. What do you got?
Well, this is Google is having a terrible time getting their Google TV off the ground. It's a great device.
Why is that?
Well, it's a great device, but all of the networks have pulled off.
Oh, okay.
And a lot of places are pulling off. So, in other words, when they see that you're using a Google, it's basically all Google TV basically is a web browser,
right,
that's made to pull in the multimedia content.
Okay.
So when networks see that you're visiting their website with that browser, then it cuts you off and doesn't let you see their content.
Oh.
So you can go in and hack your Google TV, not even hack, it's just change a setting and make Google TV say that it's using Firefox.
Or Internet Explorer.
Well, I think it's just Firefox. I think it's the only other option. So you go in there. So when you visit these sites, but now they're starting to get kind of wise to that too, and it's turning into a cat and mouse game.
Oh,
so
wow.
In order to promote Google TV, Google has launched a massive ad campaign with Kevin Bacon.
Oh, nice.
So that should get you going.
Nice.
Yeah. So if you haven't thought about buying a Google TV yet, if you've been looking at a Roku box or a what's the other one, the Boxy box, keep in mind that Google TV is the one that has Kevin Bacon. And let that
how many
help
degrees
you make
of
your
Kevin
decision.
Bacon?
I don't know. I haven't watched the commercials yet. I just thought it was interesting that they've gone.
I saw the makeup there. He looks a lot older then.
They could have afforded to get Seinfeld and Bill Gates both to be in their commercial, but they chose Kevin Bacon.
Well, we were talking about mobile earlier being a huge, huge change in what's going on with cell phones and mobile internet, but also TV. We talked about that a few weeks ago. TV is just going nuts with what's happening.
Oh, yeah.
In fact, there was one news item I did catch this week, just a headline that said Microsoft is considering creating a pay-as-you-go type TV, a kind of a a la carte kind of thing.
Right.
So with so many people getting into TV and telephone and internet service, it's really helping improve the services for all of us.
Yeah.
And thus bring the prices down in competition.
And, you know, it's doing two things. And like you said, the one good thing that it's doing is making people aware that they can get stuff in places other than their cable,
right?
Which is scaring the cable companies, and it's also scaring the content producers, the TV networks and things like that. They don't want people going to their, getting their videos from unapproved places, so they're starting to get very litigious. We're in the middle of a very litigious situation. Everybody's trying to prevent everybody else from using content. And at the same time, the only people who are really suffering are the the people who just want to watch their show. They just want to get caught up on Big Bang Theory, or they just want to get caught up on Glee or whatever, and they can't do it
right.
because they can only see the last four episodes. And so rather than going back from the beginning, there's so many shows that if I could go back... In fact, you know what I'm watching right now
what is
X-Files.
Oh,
I'm watching X-Files, and I'm just sitting down watching a couple episodes.
Had you ever watched it?
I did.
Okay.
I did, but I never watched it from the beginning.
Gotcha.
I never got into
it. How are you liking it?
Oh, I love it. I love it.
It was a very popular
time. It's held up so well. It's held up so well. I mean, it could have been made.
I was 90s.
Effects are good. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But, yeah, I've just decided, oh, I'm going to start watching this because I never really got into the cult of it. I always,
right.
you know, I always knew there's a smoking man, and I knew, you know,
was
I knew
it
the
David
characters
Duchovny?
And stuff. Yeah. And, you know, but now that I'm getting into it, it's cool. It's like going back and Lost. I did the same thing with Lost.
Right.
I didn't watch Lost until the last season, and my wife and I got caught up on six episodes over the course of 2 months so that
right.
we could...
Six seasons.
So that we could... Yeah.
Yeah, you said yeah. six episodes.
Oh, I'm sorry, six seasons.
But you watched the whole season.
We watched five seasons over a course of about 2 months
right.
so that we could watch the finale live was the whole goal.
Well, it makes watching TV a whole different thing. When you can watch... Because let's face it, if it's a good show,
yeah.
waiting that week in between episodes, because
oh, yeah.
sometimes, you know, I mean, we do it.
Yeah.
But at the same time, being able to not have to do that is
yeah.
pretty cool.
Yeah. And, you know, that's really what it's all about. It's not even about avoiding the commercials.
Right.
If they gave me, say, four commercials during an episode of,
right.
of 30 seconds or 60 seconds each, I
right.
would sit through. You know, I'm not trying to avoid the commercials. I think they're missing out on a crazy you know, money-making opportunity by not making this stuff ubiquitous and putting
right.
it everywhere and just loading it with commercials or a banner at the bottom of the screen or something like that.
Right.
I just want to enjoy the TV show.
When you want to.
When I want to.
Right.
That's it.
Time
shift. I
want
to time. That's it. That's mm-hmm. exactly it. I'm not trying to TiVo it and you know, with the time shifting the commercials or
right.
fast-forwarding the commercials. I'm not trying to skip that.
Right.
I am. Are you?
Yeah.
Yeah, I would if it was TV, maybe, but you know, if it's on Hulu and they make me sit through a 30-second ad right in the middle,
right.
I'm not going to move that little bar and try to get that little 30-second.
I don't think they let you. Skip. I don't think.
No.
Yeah.
Well, you can't because it's
right.
separate video files. But I'm okay with that.
Right.
You know?
And I am too. Now, like
yeah.
I watch Amazing Race on CBS.
Right.
They only give you, like you were just mentioning, three or four episodes
yeah.
at a time, so you got to sort of keep up with it.
Yeah.
But they give you, I think four. I think
yeah.
you're right. Four 30-second ads through the course of the hour, and that's fine.
And you know,
I have no problem with that.
And when they release it on DVD,
mm-hmm.
if it's a good enough show, like for example, The Office is a great example of this. So is Lost,
mm-hmm.
where when it comes out on DVD, you get so much cool
content,
and it's not just behind the scenes, the making of how we do it. The Office, when you get The Office on DVD, every episode almost is two episodes long because the outtakes are almost an episode in and of themselves. Sometimes there's whole storylines
oh,
that
wow.
they cut out and they show it. So, you know, I think there's some validity or there's a reason to go out and still buy the DVDs, even if you can watch it online as well. So,
right.
Anyway, but
very
that's,
cool.
that's how that works.
Hey, this is a alert. I'm going to put this
oh,
out
good.
To everyone out there. This
oh,
was
no.
from October 10th. I had Frank Carlson.
Yes.
Who's from the USA. He said, beware of Melissa Grant and Nicholas Rowe. They
okay.
are scammers and thieves. And he's listed.
I'm glad we put that APB out there.
He's listed an address. There's an address there. I'm not going to give out the
wow.
address.
Beware of them.
Okay. I'm just going to keep going up from dates. Now we're into November at least.
Okay.
Here is somebody from Cincinnati using Vista. He uninstalled McAfee, but a lot of exclamation points. The McAfee agent refuses to uninstall. Is it in management mode, et cetera, et cetera? The other issue is when I start Outlook, it says McAfee is trying to scan and that I should uninstall the add-in. So best thing to do is go to the web, and I'm going to try to give you a real quick tiny URL. But go to the web, and you're going to look for the McAfee uninstall tool. There is an uninstall cleaner that McAfee has that you can use. It's a product removal tool. And let me see if I can get you the URL very quickly. Ta-da-da-da-da. Adam, I need you to hum.
Okay. Well, I would just say
or
that there's...
Do another news item.
I'm looking at the CNET news about what to look for in an Android tablet. And be careful out there. Some of these cheap Android tablets do a lot of funky stuff to work. So, for example, I was just looking that there is one out on the market that requires a stylus to use. It doesn't even work touchscreen. Yeah, so that may be good or bad. It may not make any difference to you, but know that that's out there. Also know that a lot of the features can be limited. And sometimes the UI is so heavily tweaked, that's the user interface, is so heavily tweaked that it doesn't, you know, it makes it difficult to even find your way around or get to the stuff you'd really like to in an Android operating system. So lots of good stuff. This one talks about how it's difficult to get the SD card out without using a razor blade and all kinds of stuff. So
anyway, using a razor. Wow.
I didn't read the whole thing.
But it passed the QC3.
Yeah, I did. We are going to see so many pirated devices, you know, Chinese. I'm not being
electronic
by
devices.
Saying that they are. They're, you know, a lot of times they're from China or they're from Taiwan. These pirated things. I don't know. Have you ever seen?
There's a lot of small manufacturers that build all these things.
Oh, yeah. Have you seen? The fake iPhones. Have you ever had a client who's accidentally got a fake iPhone
from like eBay or something?
They are incredible. I mean, they nail it. You know, when you hold that thing, if you were to look at it, you know, don't hold it in your hands because you can tell the second you pick it up that it's not a real iPhone. But if you were to just look at it laying on a table next to an iPhone, you couldn't tell the difference.
Wow.
When you turn them on, sometimes you can tell a difference because the screen is dimmer. Okay. But other than that, the UI, you know, all looks like an iPhone. Okay. The icons are the same and all of that. But, you know, as soon as you start using it, it's not an iPhone. It's, you know, it's a...
I haven't seen that.
Some pirate, you know, whatever they call it. But yeah.
So is it a modified Android, probably?
No. Well, see, it could be. It could be its own little, you know, Symbian, for all I know. It's just a... But there's some other... But the other thing, too, is the aluminum... the aluminum, the metal on them, a lot of times is plastic that's just been brushed to look...
Like aluminum.
Like aluminum or painted to look like aluminum.
So if you tap on it, you can...
Oh, yeah, you can tell. You can even bend it. I mean, it's incredible. I bet it says 8 gig and has the little FCC stuff on there. And,
Bro.
I mean, they nail it as far as looking at
good,
the appearance.
Good counterfeiters.
Yeah, so if you look at pictures on the internet and they say, here's my iPhone, you know, there's no way of knowing until you actually have it in your hand that it's not an actual
iPhone. The one thing that I have a trouble with buying on eBay is...
Yeah.
Is telephones, computers, and cameras.
Right.
Because those are some things that, to me, it depends on how that person treated the phone, even if it is a real one.
Yeah.
I mean, some people leave them in the sun. Some people, you know, they drop them constantly. Yeah. I don't know.
Yeah.
And those are items that I like to be able to see and feel.
Well, these iPhones that I saw, there are two different clients I've seen that have had them. And one was an iPod. I even saw an iPod Nano at one time that was the same thing. They came sealed in the white box they go all the way through white headphones, all the stuff that comes in the box is all there.
It all looks legit.
It's all cheap. Right. Yeah.
That's funny. Okay. For Todd, the McAfee removal tool.
Yes.
Is, and I, you know, come to think of it, can you check on our site, Adam, and see if we have it under my links section? I think I might, but it's tinyurl.com is where you're going to go / YOHH76. So it's tinyurl.com/yak-ostrich-hippo-hippo-76. I know I have the Norton removal tool.
Yeah, you used to have it there, but it's not there. I just typed McAfee and it's not there. So we need to get that up there.
You know what I can do? I can add that right now.
Wow.
We have that technology.
That's right. We use a CMS for our website, which makes everything so much easier.
Makes it very nice.
Yes.
If you haven't been since, I guess that's also new since our last...
I think that was right the same day or something, or the evening after our last podcast.
Yes, we have a whole new survey. I'm trying to read and talk. We have a whole new design to help me wreck. All the same content is there, but we have a new design that you can go check out at helpmewreck.com. I think it's for sure much prettier. But I also think that in the long run, it's going to be a little more functional and help you get to information a little faster. So go check it out at helpmerick.com. I am putting in the McAfee removal tool as we speak so that that will forevermore be on the site. I'm going to link to Softpedia. And you've used that, haven't you, Adam? Softpedia to download different things?
No, I have not.
Go to it. I bet you've been okay. There. You'll recognize it.
Oh, yeah, you're talking about because the soft is written in...
Yeah, Softpedia. And it's a nice little site.
Oh, yeah.
Because it's actually gotten better for me than download.com in many ways not near as much intrusive.
Now, the one thing about Softpedia I have to warn you about is you have to make sure the URL at the top says Softpedia because so many
copycats,
virus people and junk software writers and link bait people copy Softpedia's look and, make it look like you're trying to download something. And I'm sure you've been to one of those sites where you go to, you think you're going to download the program or you try to find a place to download it and you click to download it and all you get is another place that tries to get you to download something else. And so you just have to make sure on a lot of these sites, even with the one you just mentioned, download.com,
download.com,
you have to be careful what you click on.
Oh, yeah.
There's download. I don't remember if download.com uses Spyware Doctor, but that's a really common one.
Well, it's one of their advertisers.
Yeah, you see Spyware Doctor download now. You just see your eye just floats to the download now.
Sure.
And you don't realize you're not even downloading the program you came after.
Well, they'll surround the download link with all these ads that look like that's where I need to click.
Yeah.
And they are marked as ads, but most people overlook that.
Right, but for being such technology advocates, CNET should really work on that. It is borderline, if not totally unethical, to mislead your...
I mean, I think they're overlooking the function of their website for the trying to generate.
And I have a feeling that if the editors and the writers and the people who actually do the work on CNET had any say in it, I'm pretty sure that they wouldn't support that. Just from what I know of them, but they're not the ones who make decisions. I think that's a marketing decision there. So
yeah, it's crazy.
Okay, what else?
I'm kind of running out of gas myself in terms of news. Anything else?
Yeah, I'm pretty much out of news. I just go ahead and go through emails or whatever, or we can move on.
I do have. I do want to announce that next week.
Okay.
I'm hoping that next week there'll be a surprise announcement here on the podcast.
Sweet.
And
I love surprise announcements.
So I I'm not even going to let Adam know.
That's cool.
I'm going to surprise Adam next Thursday.
Good deal.
As well as nobody else will care, but you'll like it, I think.
Good.
I think.
Excellent. Excellent. No, that's fantastic.
I am reading what the Dormouse said.
Are you?
I've been reading it. It's very good.
It's a good
very
book, interesting. It's kind of wacko.
It is kind of wacko. It's very interesting. Yeah, but it's kind of neat to see the very roots of what was going on back in the 50s and 60s with computing.
Yeah. Do you remember the author for the book? It's called What the Dormouse Said, and Dormouse is spelled like Dormouse, not Dormouse.
Did you see that it's actually a lyric in one of the Doors songs?
I do remember that now. I couldn't remember why it was called that, but I do remember that line. John Markoff. What the Dormouse Said. Look for it on Amazon. It should be really cheap now because it's been out for a long time. But it's an amazing book because it's about the history of the personal computer.
Mm-hmm.
And it tells the backstories of pretty much everybody who's involved, the Bill Gates and the Steve Jobs, but also all these other people.
Doug Engelbert. Some of the people you haven't heard of.
And the people who invented the mouse, how the keyboard came to be, how the monitor came to be. It kind of tells all this stuff, but it does it by talking about the rebelliousness of all these different people, that these guys were kind of the rock stars of a whole era. What I think is cool about that book is you can see all this stuff happening all over again in the current system. When you have the Facebook movie is interesting, but if they could make a movie out of this book, there's about 5 or 10 different characters that they could make a movie just of those characters. It gets into how they all got tied in with Timothy Leary and the LSD craze and just all kind of how they would stay up all night working on this stuff, doing things, and how they were all chemically altered for a while. And
I love reading the comments. I'm reading some of the comments on Amazon.
Yeah,
it's a very worthy read.
Yeah.
If you are into technology. Yeah. I don't know if non-technology would.
Well, I think there's two groups. I think that people who enjoy a good story about the 60s would would like it, whether or not they get into the technology.
Or if you'd like to re-remember the
60s. Yeah, if you can't remember the 60s and you want to be reminded of what it was like, sure, yeah.
Then that may be good.
No, it's a fantastic book, though.
But I'm glad that you got it to me, because it's very interesting, and it's nice to get some of the background on there. Well, one of the characters early on that I recognize is Fred Moore,
uh-huh.
because we heard about Moore's Law.
Right.
So that's kind of interesting. But it's also interesting how... We all know that a lot of the stuff in computing, especially the early internet, the old, I forgot the term for it now, but it was all because of military contracts.
Right.
And they were trying to figure out ways to unscramble enemies' algorithms, but they were also trying to figure out how to get their communications faster and easier, or faster and more secure. So it's very interesting. Very interesting. And I'm enjoying reading that.
Yeah, it's not the story you'd hear of, like, Hewlett-Packard about a couple guys building computers in their garage. It gets pretty intense sometimes. It's a good story. I think there's several stories like that that could make fairly decent movies as well.
Oh, I agree.
I would love to see an eBay movie about the beginning of eBay. I love the story of eBay. It would be really boring. I hope they don't take it up. They can stop right at Meg Whitman and then... You know, do a story up to that point, but there's a lot of good stories out there that I'm excited to see told with a whole new culture that's happened since in our lifetimes. Okay, are you excited for Tron?
I have no interest in Tron.
The first one? You never saw the first one either.
Don't know anything about it.
Isn't that fun? I just think that's funny.
Why?
I understand you not seeing Star Wars. It's just Tron is about computers.
I don't know anything about it.
Really?
I know zero about it.
Yeah, it's I mean, it's not the most intriguing movie.
I did see
that
you
can... It was a total flop at the box office.
The first time?
But you know what's cool about Tron is I go back and watch it. I watched it with my kids a few nights ago, in fact, or last week. Is you go back and watch it, and it makes more sense now than it made in 1982. I mean, it's so far ahead as far as, you know, having computer users who write programs and this big security program that's kind of gobbling up the code from other programs and utilizing it. It's basically Google, in a sense. You know, they're just buying up all these other... pulling in all these other technologies to become bigger and bigger. And it's about one guy who creates a security program that will monitor this gigantic this Norton or this other security program that's kind of gobbling up all of the other
smaller ones
and Pentagon and everything. And you know, he writes.
But that was a game too, wasn't it?
Well, no, one of the guys who worked for this company who was fired created some video games, and some of those video games are lost in the code of this big master control computer. And so it uses the video games as kind of a graphical way to explain how the
security
program was
blocking. But was there a game after the...
Yeah, there were games made from scenes of Tron.
Oh, okay.
But the movie Tron isn't about video games.
Oh, but
That's what I'm saying. It's that most people don't realize what it is because they think of the light cycles and the frisbees and all of that. But it's actually those things are just kind of an analogy of what's going on inside this network of computers. And that's another thing is it's talking about computer networks in 1982 and how the security for these networks is all faulty or, you know, there's a worm that's going through. And it's 1982. And now when you watch it, you know, the plot line could basically be written today and everyone would understand it because they're so used to this terminology. But you think this was done in 1982.
Now, was it based on a book or was it an original screenplay?
I have no idea. I really don't know.
Now, is it coming out this Christmas or
spring? It's coming out in a couple weeks.
Oh, okay.
So, cool. Yeah, I thought it was coming out in a couple weeks at least. Maybe I'm wrong. But anyway, but it's pretty interesting. I'm not that excited about the new movie because I think... It's going to be hard for another movie to, you know, be that far ahead of its time, really, without seeming kind of silly. You know, I think it'll be kind of Star Trek-like or something. But
I stumbled on a Tron motorcycle that you can buy.
Oh, I did see that.
Did you see that?
It started at $35,000 and went up or something like that. Yeah.
That's a big piece of machinery, I'll tell you that.
It really is.
It is impressive looking, those giant wheels and everything.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
I have an email here, Adam. I don't know. I can't tell if this one is, if this is a real email or not. It says, from Zhang in China, where can I buy cheap replica handbags?
I don't know. Wow, that's a good question.
Could that
Where can I buy cheap? Does it have a link in there at all or anything?
There's no link. They're just asking for where can I buy cheap handbags?
Wow.
Probably in China.
Yeah, I would
so he probably has the market
corner
there. He's
pretty close, yeah. Interesting. Where can I buy? I bet if you were to write him back and say, I don't know, I bet he found an answer and he emails you back and tells you where he can find this.
Well, the good thing is that I can't do that because it's all through the web form. So there's no email addresses exchanged.
Oh, that's great.
So that's a very nice thing.
Wow. Now, I want to know, what was I going to say? I would like to know. Well, no, I don't. I'm not going to talk about that. Let's move on.
Okay.
Oh, let's see. I'm seeing if there's anything else going on in the news. I don't see much else that's really that exciting.
Well, unless you have anything else, we're dry, I think. Yeah, unless you have anything else.
As soon as the show ends, I'm going to think of something really cool. Lockheed is planning or really would like to visit the far side of the moon. The dark side of the moon.
That's funny.
Yeah.
All right.
There you go. And what about the Kinect? Have you been watching the Kinect hacks?
My son showed me some of the. I haven't seen the hacks, but Vinny showed me some of the videos from the tennis. The sports.
Yeah.
And what's the other big popular game that's coming out on Kinect? Oh, dance. One of the dance ones.
Mm-hmm.
And boy, they say it's. You can't cheat on it like you can the Wii.
Right.
And they actually brought in on this one comic site, they brought in a table tennis champion, United States table tennis champion, and they played this other goofball comedy guy from this one of these comedy networks that my son watches.
Uh-huh.
And they played on all three. They played on the Kinect. They played on the PS3 that has its little Kinect-like thing, and they played on the Wii. And it was very interesting watching them play. Because they did them side by side, and then it also was very interesting watching the technology, how it scans their bodies and makes your whole body the controller.
Yeah.
That I could like that.
It is pretty cool.
Now, but tell me about the hack.
The hacks are incredible. There's so many right now. If you could just go to Engadget or somewhere and look for Kinect hacks, there's one that's very, very cool that you'll probably find fairly quickly about a guy who's turned the Kinect into a 3D camera. And he basically uses his computer. I don't know how he does it, but you can see the video.
Isn't there something to do? A lot of them are putting Linux or something on it.
Yeah, they're using Linux. There's another one that's a Kinect lightsaber hack to where you...
I saw that one.
You take it and you hold the stick up and it makes it into a lightsaber.
Yeah.
See, this guy right here, you'll just have to go to Engadget.
Now, Microsoft isn't real happy about this.
Actually, they weren't at first.
Okay.
Their first announcement, the first week it started coming out, they started saying, that's not what we made it for. We made it for the Xbox, all of that. The next week, and in fact, it only been like 2 or 3 days later. Yeah, see how this guy makes his like 3D camera. The next week, Microsoft said, we're glad people are doing it and we're excited to see what's happening with this technology. I think what happened is they started seeing what people were doing.
Right.
They were kind of excited about it, but at the same time, they wanted to make sure their patents were all secure so there weren't a whole bunch of Kinect knockoffs that people producing.
Yeah.
Because the following week, they came out and said, go for it. We really are excited to see what people are doing.
Well, these kind of hobbyist kind of things are what really gets people excited about these technologies.
Well, if you think back to the late 90s, everybody was buying Honda Civics. Because they were so, they could tweak them. They could, they could do all these different things to them. The same thing goes with, I'm trying to think of Trios. Or, well, Palm. That's one of the reasons Palm really took off was because it was so easy to manipulate and hack.
Well, and I think that's what's making Android.
And Android's the same way, yeah.
And they've done it with the iPhone. It's just a little harder, but they have done it with the iPhone, too.
Yeah, but now there's a guy who has created a way for you to control the web browser through Kinect, through hand gestures, so back and forth and scroll and all that. I think we're going to see some really cool things from this Kinect technology.
That's very cool.
And I think that Microsoft stumbled on something on accident that they thought was going to be used for video games, and I don't think they realized that I think this will be this same technology will be what's utilized in autonomous cars and all those things now, because it does such a good job. You've seen what it looks like under a UV, haven't you? Have you seen the
Kinect?
Yeah, the IR. Yeah.
Oh, does it kind of basically scan the whole room?
Yeah, let me show you. Yeah, it's really cool. I think it's IR. Let's see. Yeah, here we go. Yeah, there's some videos on YouTube where they use a night shot camera, a Sony night shot camera or some other thing that detects infrared. And they show the room, and there's millions of little dots all over. It just shoots all these little dots all over the room.
So, and so it's virtual dots. So yeah. Like when people are doing biomechanical studies, they usually put little dots on people's clothes.
Yeah, or so filming movies with green screen.
Yeah, this is digitally doing that.
Yeah, it creates the dots, which creates a 3D surface.
That is pretty cool.
And that's how it knows where you're standing. Yeah.
That is pretty cool.
Isn't that cool?
That is pretty amazing.
So you see that and you think, okay, well, you take this in a car and you shoot it forward somehow.
Yeah.
There's no reason why a car couldn't really drive itself once it's programmed.
Well, Google did that, right? And they got in trouble for that.
Yep. So anyway, lots of cool stuff. And anything else for us?
I think that's it.
Okay. We've talked more about video games on this show than we probably have the combined
in the 10 years
we've done this show between the Kinect and the your
Tron
and your client with
and the Angry Birds, PS3.
Yes, yes.
All right, well, we'll be back again with another podcast again next week. Hopefully, I've been 7 or 8 days into the Angry Birds seasons. I'm glad they're doing that again. Another brilliant move,
yes,
for marketing.
Absolutely.
Because if you're going to come out with something that's going to keep you at the forefront, I mean, they've been number one on the sales for Android and for iPhone for months and months and months.
Yeah.
So, I mean, they've built a brand.
Yeah. I would like to know whether Angry Birds has surpassed Pac-Man in popularity. Not quite yet.
What do you think?
Not in the culture, because you don't see Angry Birds shirts yet out at Walmart.
That's true.
Not a lot of
them. Not at Walmart.
So when that starts happening and you start seeing Angry Bird plush toys and Angry Bird merchandise and all of that, right. I think we'll get to that point fairly quickly. I think it hasn't caught on with the mainstream yet. Every iPhone user knows what it is, but I think there's still a lot of people out there who don't know what it is yet. Mm-hmm. I think once it hits Xbox.
They don't have a PC game yet, do they?
No, and that's it. It hasn't reached the, what's the name, Bejeweled company.
I don't know what theirs is.
Oh, no, I mean, what's the name of that the company that does Bejeweled and Zynga, or not Zynga, but Zen?
I don't know. I'm not sure.
Oh, you'll know it when you hear it. PopCap Games.
Is that who first came out with Bejeweled?
Yeah, that's the Bejeweled company. So,
okay.
But once PopCap or somebody like that has their thing, they're the ones who did Plants vs. Zombies.
What I could do to help them is just put together a little video.
Yeah.
Or I'm sure there's videos on the web I could just put in a link and then forward it to all my clients.
Be a good idea.
Make it viral.
Go for it.
Make it viral in a whole new...
That's it.
In a whole new population.
We actually live really close to the monument. We could almost do a reenactment.
Yeah, we could.
the mountains of the Angry Birds.
Put some rocks up.
Yeah, we won't use actual birds.
I will tell you, they do a pretty good job with the physics. In the new one, it's a snow pyramid.
Uh-huh.
And so I thought, oh, man, this would be easy. But you think about it, when you working with snow and snow stacks on other snow, it gets harder.
Yeah.
And it doesn't collapse as well as you think it would.
Right.
And it does it in the game.
You know, my complaint about Angry Birds... that I'm sure is everybody's complaint, is that how come you can just barely tap a bird or tap a pig and kill it? Just, you know, if your bird barely taps, but he can have 40 40 center blocks piled on top of him and not, you know, it doesn't even give him a black eye.
Well, it's his sharp beak versus a dull, you know, a dull
300 pounds of center block.
Right.
I don't know.
So that's the physics part you don't like.
Yeah, that's
but
it.
But some of them are wearing helmets,
but everything else
too.
I really like.
Some of them are wearing helmets.
Not always. They can even be the baby pigs. You know, even if the baby pigs have like...
This is frustrating. I know.
Anyway, we're going to do a podcast all about Angry Birds, a special episode coming up at some other point in time in the future. But
we'll combine that with Napoleon Dynamite.
If you have an iPhone, an Android, a BlackBerry...
Is it on BlackBerry?
It's on everything. You have a Symbian. I think it's on BlackBerry. I don't know why it wouldn't be. A Symbian. It's not on the old BlackBerry, but I think it's on the new one. Mm-hmm. If you have a new BlackBerry.
Who cares about BlackBerry?
Who cares? anything except for a Windows Mobile Phone 7. You should be able to download that Angry Birds, and heck, it may even be out on that before.
And the iPhone has an Angry Birds Lite.
Oh, yeah.
So you can get the free version.
It's free. Either version is free. So get the light version or the pay version. Doesn't matter. But play some Angry Birds and just enjoy the gift that we've given you of discovering Angry Birds.
Very good.
There you go.
All right. We'll be back. Have a good week.